League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham, it's Brian behind the glass. Thursday edition of The Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Lots to get to. A lot of injuries in Houston right now, which isn't great. Lee Sterling's going to hand out some winners at 3:45. Adam Ronis going to get you ready for your fantasy football weekend. You're probably 0-3 because you're all a bunch of... Never mind, I'm not going to say that. Maybe you're 3-0. Maybe you're 3-0. But Adam Ronis will be here to help you with your fantasy football weekend. Bad Take Boulevard, it is a Thursday after all. We'll take the temperature of Stephon Diggs. Talk to... Go beyond enemy lines. Talk to somebody in Jacksonville. Ask them what's wrong with these Jags. But what were the Killer G's watching? This television right here says we cannot play this content.
Ooh.
What are they trying to watch on the company television? It's a little...
You know how Polly gets sometimes. Worrisome. I mean, yesterday he was a little bit tipsy, so...
Was he?
He was popping bottles because of the Astros.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, brought it in studio and said he was a half a bottle down, so he went to coffee.
I admire that. I can appreciate that. I have nothing wrong with that. Speaking of the Astros, which there's some things I don't like what's going on right now when it comes to the Houston Astros. Now, I still think that it's going to be okay, but we have some new information with Yordan Alvarez. This courtesy of Ari Alexander, who posted this video yesterday evening or yesterday night, which... Some new information that we have not heard from Dana Brown that was given to Ari Alexander. Credit Ari Alexander for this. Here was the interview with Dana Brown, Astros general manager.
On the injury front, where do you think you guys are at with Yordan and how quickly you can see him back?
Yeah, I mean, we just got to, it's time, right? We got to wait for some of the healing. We have to wait for some of the swelling to go down. There's a little bit of fluid in the knee.
Whoa! Whoa. What did he just say? There's what in the knee?
Yeah, there's a little fluid in the knee, Jeremy.
Fluid in the knee?
Yep.
Of Yordan Alvarez? Fluid. That's the first time we've heard that, right?
It's a fluid situation, Jeremy.
Good one.
But swelling is fluid.
It is.
So we already knew he had swelling, didn't we?
Liquid?
I thought the swelling came out like day one. Swelling is just fluid.
Sure it is.
Inflammation is liquid.
Yeah.
Well, you sure about that?
What is swelling? It's blood. Blood is liquid. Blood is fluid.
Okay. All right. All right, so maybe I'm freaking out about this, and I shouldn't freak out about this.
Well, I mean,
Yordan and the Astros, you never know.
But there's two folds to this because yes, inflammation is primarily fluid based, but when you get bruising and things like that too, you also get swelling with the muscles and stuff. But at the same time, when you're looking at this, we knew that it was going to be where they were trying to get more clear imaging once the swelling went down. So that is fluid in itself too. So I guess in a nutshell, he said it.
I wonder if they're going to drain this thing though.
I think they might have already done it.
Like Dana Brown's talking about, we're going to give you more information Thursday, Friday. He mentions in this too, like the imaging and stuff is like something that they're going to look at again whenever the swelling goes down. I think they're going to drain this sucker. I think they're going to drain it, get out as much fluid / inflammation. I mean, all of you should know that. Fluid inflammation that Yordan Alvarez has in this knee. I think that he's going to go, I think he's going to have a little drainage done.
There's a chance they might have already done it.
Probably.
Because of the fact that they know he doesn't need to be ready until next Tuesday. And then try and kind of speed up the process the best that they can, knowing that the real deadline is when the playoffs begin. So you might as well just shut him down and do everything that you can humanly can to get this thing as close as it can be.
Now, this is not very uncommon with athletes. Like, they have stuff drained a lot. Mm-hmm. Like 3062, if you're having fluid drained off your knee, it's not draining blood. I imagine at that point you're draining the inflammation.
You're draining, yeah. I've had it done when I tore my ACL, and you're draining the swelling. So there's some inflammation. I mean, there is blood that comes out, but it's not specifically just the blood.
I've known of a lot of athletes that have underwent draining throughout the year, several times mm-hmm. throughout the year, and didn't miss a game. Like, they played the entire year, whatever sport it was. So it's not uncommon in sport to have your knee drained. But I do, and we're not saying that Jordan's having his knee drained, but just new information that he might potentially. Here's some more from Dana Brown. If you let the clip play out there, Brian, he talks about getting more imaging done. So if you're getting more imaging done, I don't think you're out of the water, right?
No.
Like, it might be surface level. Let's just take a look to see how it looks. But if you're getting more imaging done in the coming days, you're not out of the water. You're not 100% coming back and playing on Tuesday. Here's the rest of that interview.
For some of the swelling to go down, there's a little bit of fluid in the knee. We have to wait for some of that to settle. And now that we've clinched, you know, we can give him that little extra time. We don't have to try to rush him back. You know, hopefully he's going to be all right. Once the swelling goes down, we'll be able to see more and to what depth, you know, this injury is. But ultimately, our goal is to at least get him back for the postseason.
Do you have kind of an idea of what it could be other than maybe a sprain or just what kind of the issue is?
Now, once the swelling goes down, you know, we can get some more imaging. And, you know, before you know it, hopefully it's like Thursday, we'll have more information, maybe Friday, to share with you guys. But hopefully, you know, we get him back. That's our main goal. Is we're not worried about getting him back for Cleveland. We're worried about more getting him back for the postseason.
So they're going to see more, look to see more, hope for having more information Thursday or Friday. Today's Thursday at 3:06. We're not expecting any information today, are we?
Not
I think
at
that
all.
Dana Brown, that was one of his white lies, maybe unintentional white lies, but certainly not going to get information today, right?
Off day in Cleveland. I don't expect anything from them, and I don't think anybody else should.
I imagine they're also traveling today. You think they traveled after the game Wednesday?
I think what I heard
in the off day in Cleveland.
The broadcasters on the TV side were kind of hinting that they were going to leave after the game to go to Cleveland. They'd have the full day off in Cleveland today.
That's probably where they had a day game, too. Like, if you have a day game, usually you leave that night. So that would make some sense.
And who doesn't want an off day in Cleveland?
Yeah, Cleveland rocks.
I see what you did there. It's actually better than it was when it was the mistake by the lake. They've done a lot to try and improve it, but it's still Cleveland.
All right, so you hear that from Dana Brown. Where is your concern level with Jordan Alvarez's knee?
Dana uses the word worry in the clip. Like, right at the end there, the one thing that caught my ear says, oh, we're not worried about getting him back for Cleveland. We're worried about getting him back for the postseason. Which, kind of to me, it seems to kind of suggest a little, there's at least some concern. Yeah. And maybe that's just because they haven't had the follow-up imaging.
I think it's more they don't care about Cleveland. What they're really stressing is next Tuesday.
Yeah, and I think the other thing, Jeremy, is the fact that the biggest worry you have is not having 44 in the lineup. So until he is and you see him and Espada writes him in the lineup, you should have a level of concern and worry that this ain't set in stone, that you're going to have him in the lineup when the first pitch is thrown in the wild card series.
Yeah. I don't love that.
I don't either.
Now, that was immediately after the celebration. So that was Tuesday night. Things have happened. He also said that Jordan's been walking around better, and they feel like the swelling has went down. They did let Jordan Alvarez speak to the media, which I can't really remember a time where they let somebody speak to the media and then they were like out a period of time. Like, they never let Kyle Tucker speak to the media after his injury.
Wasn't it Bregman that took it upon himself to talk to the media after the elbow?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he wasn't out a significant period of time.
No. No, the last time it happened to Jordan, Dusty got the hand wrong and he came out to correct that. So I think that it's up to the player if they're going to speak. I don't think that the organization's going to say at a certain point, we're going to make you available to the media.
Yeah.
We know he's not going to Cleveland.
Because it's Jordan Alvarez, my worry's a 10 automatically.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, I don't think he has a torn ACL. But in terms of his availability Tuesday, he's so important that my worry's at a 10. Now, gun to my head, do I think he's going to be in the lineup Tuesday when the Astros open up the AL wildcard series? I still lean yes. I still lean he will be in the lineup.
Yeah, I think that the key is that we learned this with Kyle Tucker and with injuries. You don't have to have a torn ACL or MCL or PCL to miss significant time. You could have, you know, a contusion, a bone bruise, and then we get into breaks and sprains and everything else. But the main thing is, whatever he has, can you get it to a point where he can play starting Tuesday? And I think that that's going to be their number one focus. I mean, but because we don't have a stable relationship with solid answers from anybody in the organization, you should have a concern. My concern level is 10. Because without him, I don't think you're chasing a World Series title. I mean, I think you're fighting tooth and nail every step of the way. I think with him, there should be a level of confidence. This team can play with anybody, and that's why it should be at a 10.
I think they can win it all without him, but your odds go significantly down. Significantly down.
I just don't. I think without him.
They've won a World Series without him before.
I just think without him this year, I feel like they can't win a title without him.
They would have to win a bunch of 2-1 games. I think they have the pitching staff that they could do it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you had the Astros, like I haven't seen what the Fangraphs odds are for the Astros to win the World Series. If Yordan Alvarez is in the Astros lineup, what is the blank graph chances for the Astros to win the World Series?
If he's in the lineup?
Yeah, if he's available in the lineup, even if he's only DHing.
33%.
That's really high. I would have it at about 20. So let's assume that Yordan's unavailable. How much does that drop it off for you?
To about 15%.
Okay, it cuts it to me to like 5. It cuts it to me to like that cut it by a quarter. They cut it by 3/4, actually. So that's the significance of what Yordan Alvarez means to the team. I hate this, too, by the way. I hate that we have to sit here and sweat injuries all year long. We've had to do this all year long. We sweated injuries at the start of the season. When's Luis Garcia? When's Lance McCullers going to come back? We sweated the injury to, remember, Framber Valdez was sent home with an elbow deal, never had an MRI on it. Okay, we sweated that for a little bit because elbows scare you when you talk about pitchers. We sweated the Christian Javier injury. Luis Garcia, Lance McCullers started throwing. Luis Garcia pitched in rehab games. We sweated that. He was shut down. Justin Verlander was out several months. I don't know if it was actually several months, but a long time with a little neck thing that turned into a shoulder thing. We had to sweat that out. We had to sweat out Kyle Tucker. I am tired of having to sweat out injuries when it comes to the Houston Astros.
As well you should be. And again, it goes back to the fact that because every injury has, which you think is just a little small little bump in the road, turns into Mount Kilimanjaro by the time the Astros tell you the full truth far after the point of discussing it for the first time. No matter what we were talking about and the examples you gave, never once did we hear, oh, it's going to be a short-term injury, and then it become a short-term injury. Almost every time significant guys go down, it's, well, it's discomfort. Well, we're nursing it back. Oh, no, it's going to be 3 months later, and Kyle Tucker's playing again. I mean, and the other guys you talked about, it was significant portions of time in the season. So you shouldn't feel good about that. You shouldn't trust them.
3209, if Alex Singleton can play a football game with a torn ACL, then Yordan can play. I think Alex Singleton's not as soft as Yordan Alvarez. And I'm not saying that Yordan Alvarez is soft in this particular case. There have been some tendencies in Yordan's career where he can be a little soft. Brevin Jordan played a good amount of that game, too, with a torn ACL. I never could locate where Brevin Jordan hurt his knee. Like, so that kind of shows you the toughness there.
Yeah, the mic'd up had him playing the last play of the game, but they didn't ever identify if he said anything where he actually got hurt.
Unless he tore his ACL walking to the team charter, which I don't think is the case.
No.
D'Amico Ryans might think that's true, though, because injuries can happen wherever, he says. D'Amico Ryans says that injuries can happen at any point. So maybe because of the Brevin Jordan walking to the tarmac, maybe that's why he says that injuries can happen anywhere.
It's way too early in the show for you to trigger me, Jeremy. I was trying to save my outrage for that segment.
I didn't say it. I didn't say that quote. We'll get to that later. 4488.
O'Brien.
4488, because the Astros don't have anything to play for. How much rest do you give the veterans last 3 games? They have to keep their timing. Like, they have to stay in form. I don't think that you can sit them all 3 games. I think that you're starting your regulars, really 2 of the 3 games. But I think they're spring training. I think you give them 2-3 at-bats and you pull them out of the game as quick as you can. You can't do that for everybody either, so you have to be very kind of calculated with how you're going to do that because you're not carrying 40 men on the roster. You're carrying 28. But I do want to see the regulars get some at-bats. Now, don't be taking extra bases. Gary Pettis yesterday waving John Singleton around. And look, John Singleton's not the most important Houston Astro, but I don't need Gary Pettis to be waving Jose Altuve to have a play at the plate in game 161.
Yeah.
I don't need that.
Did you see Chandler Rome on that, just squealing on him too?
Did he really?
Saying Singleton staying out later than just about any Astro, or staying up at later than any Astro and really enjoying himself, stretching it from second base. It's like, come on, man. Let the guys have some fun.
What do you mean? Why don't I get it?
Like that he was, it was good to see he had the energy because there was, basically he was the guy celebrating the most last night and partying it up. It's like, come on, man, let the guys have some fun.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like, you don't rat the guy out when he's in the clubhouse.
Yeah, I mean, if someone walked into him in a bar and could say, hey, I saw John Singleton later that night at so-and-so, great, that's your prerogative to say that, but you don't need the beat writer. That's not the significant news you needed in that, but you're right.
Yeah, that's kind of
I would see, you know, Pena's healthy, but he really could use the time off. And Altuve and Bregman for sure, to where I would play them tomorrow night, and I would play them, like you said, a couple of at-bats. I would give them Saturday off because they're coming off a day off today. Play them tomorrow, give them a day off Saturday, let them get some at-bats again on Sunday, and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, I would although if you give them the day off Sunday, that's 2 days off.
No, I said play them tomorrow. Play them tomorrow, off on Saturday, play them on Sunday. And then the day off again and play Tuesday.
Yeah, you
so
can't
you
do
stagger.
That, but you'd have to stagger because you can't do it with every player.
No,
you can't do it with every. So you have to be okay. Two guys get a day off tomorrow. Two guys get a day off Saturday. Two guys get a day off on Sunday. I wish you had the 40-man roster for times like this. I'm really curious who starts on Sunday. I think they might call up this Gusto guy. Like, he got scratched from the start yesterday for the Spacers, which, by the way, Spacers won anyways. Congratulations to them. You could have heard that on 92.5. But they scratched him. I wonder, and they haven't announced a starter for Sunday. I wonder if they're like, hey, Gusto, here's your big league debut. Go throw, 90 pitches and give us 5 to 6 innings.
Yeah, because didn't they say, is JV supposed to pitch Saturday?
They flip-flop Blanco and JV. Blanco's going tomorrow and JV's going Saturday.
Saturday, yeah.
And I don't even think they'll go Blanco that deep into the game. I think they'll go Blanco 3-4 innings, 70-75 pitches.
At max.
I think Arrighetti might pitch tomorrow, too.
Maybe, but I mean, Sunday to me is a game that you can start whoever the hell you want. That's not anybody significant because I don't need to see anybody of significance or that you're going to need in the playoffs pitch on Sunday.
No, I'm with you. I think that they might call up this Gusto guy. Got scratched yesterday. Unless he's hurt, we don't know about it, which would be kind of appropriate.
When is the Space Cowboys?
I think it's
championship Saturday or Sunday in Vegas.
Saturday in Vegas.
There you go.
Yeah, Saturday in Vegas. They're going to be getting in some stuff if they win that thing.
Oh, boy.
7560 with his recent injury to the Astros. Rethink Alvarez and defensive use. They should. I've been banging on this drum for 4 years. I don't think that Yordan will play the outfield if he's playing in the postseason at all. I think he'll be DHing every single game in the postseason should he be available. Now, going forward, yeah. I mean, Yordan rule number one. Yordan Alvarez, because he is such a good bat, should never play the field.
No,
and stretch at your base.
We had some fun with it because we had a bet this year. But at the same time, I'm totally with you. Look, if you've got a deep outfield, if you've got the kind of outfield you were supposed to have, and maybe you could have added an extra bat, but if you've got the right guys and personnel wise, he should be your designated hitter. He becomes your David Ortiz. You don't have him do anything but hit because, as we talked about yesterday, his significance, his importance, and his ability to change games almost all by himself should be the only focus of you. Get him in the lineup and let him hit, and that's it.
Yeah, I'm with you. 713-780-3776. So fluid in the knee, inflammation in the knee, more imaging. What is your concern level for Yordan? How do you deploy him if you do get Yordan back? And that decision will fall upon Joe Espada, the Houston Astro manager. You think Joe Espada should be getting votes for AL Manager of the Year? I think so. Skiller B, 713-780-3776. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. We're on YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitter, ESPN975. Blankers at Pac-Man Joel, Brian at Sagged by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. It is the Bees on ESPN975 and ESPN925.
Guys, we know that there's football tonight, and that starts the weekend. Then there's football the rest of the weekend all the way through Monday night. Maybe you're having some people over to watch some of the games and have a good time. You're serving some good treats and foods, and you want some different variations of alcohol to serve with it. Well, just don't serve hard alcohol and beer. Serve some Stella Rosa wines, too, because it's refreshing. You serve it chilled. It goes with just about anything you're serving. They got a ton of different flavors like pineapple and chili, mango and chili, lime and chili. They're really, really exotic and refreshing, and they taste great with just about anything you're serving. They also have fruit-forward flavors such as peach and blueberry. But they're great. They're gluten-free. They're all natural ingredients, and they're made with all natural fruit. And there's just the right touch of alcohol so that you don't get drunk too fast. You can pace yourself while watching the games and having a great time. It's a great wine brand. It's delicious flavors, and it'll put you in a good mood every time because it goes with just about everything you're serving. Check out the website to see all the different kinds of flavors and wines that are offered at StellaRosa.com. But make sure you get a couple of bottles if you're having people over so they can, while you're enjoying the experience of watching football, maybe some people can enjoy the experience of trying Stella Rosa for the first time. It's available at almost all your local retailers, grocery stores, and liquor stores. Check it out today, grab a few bottles, and always celebrate responsibly.
ESPN 97.5. found the killer bees. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Blank, Branham, bees. Five, you, Brian. 713-780-3776. Should Joe Espada get votes for AL Manager of the Year? I'm in belief that he should. I think by default.
On the back of his baseball card.
Yeah, that guy right there. Give him some votes for AL Manager of the Year. He wouldn't have my top vote. That would go to Steven vote.
No doubt.
But Joe Espada to me should be, I'm not even sure how the writers do it. I think you pick your top three or your top five, and then they go reverse order or blah, 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 blah. Joe Espada, I think he's top two, really. I would have him behind vote as the runner-up, maybe third. But what they went through, 10 games back, you're like 12 games under 500. We talked about all the injuries and the adversity that this team has went through. Yes, you have the built-in advantage that you have a talented roster. That's going to force some people not to vote for Espada. Yes, you have the built-in bias against the Houston Astros, which does exist from the media. And I also think there's a little bit working against Espada with the man that he's replacing. The fact that Dusty Baker was beloved and a good manager, great manager, arguably the best manager in Houston Astro history. But replacing him and then dropping the win total, I think people are like, well, what did Espada do? But in my mind, he should be getting votes for AL Manager of the Year.
Yeah, I don't know when the voting actually takes place either, as if that would, I think, because that had some significance, because if you look at a guy like AJ Hinch, if he gets the Tigers in, then he gets even more.
It's a regular season vote, so it happens at the end of the regular season.
Okay, so yeah, and I again, as we're still trying to decide, figure out who the wild card is, but AJ's had a hell of a run. Cotrero in with the Royals has done a hell of a job, but I'm with you. I think vote's the leading candidate, but I believe that Joe Espada should get some flowers. I don't expect him to win it, but you need to recognize what this guy's done. And I don't care what kind of roster you had coming into the season, but it matters when you think about what kind of a hole they had to dig out from. They were 12 under. They were 10 out in the division. They looked like they, you know, people were throwing dirt on them every single day, and this wasn't supposed to be something that could be done, should be done, or had been done, and they did all those things. And as a rookie manager with a veteran-laden, very talented clubhouse, a lot of times that's when it crumbles faster and things fall apart at a higher level. What they've been able to do, he should, just the way Dana Brown should get flowers, there's no doubt that these two guys that were in the crosshairs more than just about anybody other than maybe Jim Crane in that mix and those guys, I would say that there's no doubt Joe Espada deserves votes.
Well, they were calling for his job. Mm-hmm. The people were calling for his job. And the familiar face, despite being a rookie manager, something that Dana Brown says was beneficial to the Astros. Dana Brown, thank God we had a familiar face in the clubhouse when we were struggling. Maybe a newer, fresh manager might have gotten frustrated with these guys, but Joe being a new manager, he had some familiarity with the group. He kept things together. He stayed positive, even when it was tough for me to stay positive. Mauricio Dubon from The Athletic. Joe kept his cool when nobody gave a bad word about us. Joe kept it even Steven. He always I love how Mauricio Dubon's dropping an even Steven. Anyways, he always kept it real for us, and I think that's what helped a lot. We were 7-19. He kept it the same as tonight. Another one. This one from Josh Miller, also courtesy of The Athletic. Great, unbelievable, unwavering, Miller said of his boss. Dealt with a lot of punches early. We all did. It was tough. It was tough to be a part of, but he kept a stiff upper lip. I guess he can take a punch. And kept the vibe positive, and these guys turned it around and kept going. It was an awesome job. Troy Snitker from The Athletic. He never panicked, never gave up on us. We never felt like we were out of this thing, and that's how he came to the field every day. That's the vibe that came off to the players. It helped us stay stable, stay calm, work toward what we needed to do to get back on track, and he was a big part of it. Alex Bregman to The Athletic. He stayed even killed. Not even Steven, even killed. Even throughout the tough time, just continued to be a consistent voice. Jeremy Pena to the Houston Chronicle. We had a rough start to the season, and Joe was the leader of the clubhouse. He was the leader of the team. He got the group together. We kept chipping away, and I'd say Joe was the biggest piece of this whole puzzle. Joe Espada should get votes for AL Manager of the Year. I'm not saying he should win it, but he should be on the short list. And when we talk about Joe Espada and how he handled the rookie year of his managerial debut with the Houston Astros, I think we have to give him a huge, you know, passing grade. I think it's pass-fail. Now, what you do in the postseason is how you're forever going to get judged. Look how a lot of people view AJ Hinch. So you could have been great in the regular season and, yes, have votes for AL Manager of the Year, but how people view Joe Espada will be because of what he does in the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about this in the past with other teams and other sports and throughout professional sports. people don't remember the kind of regular season the Golden State Warriors had when they didn't when they set the record for the most wins in the regular season history of the league.
I do.
Because they didn't win the championship. Most people, that's the thing that sticks with them. And making a playoff run is important. And we know that in this city with this run and this golden era of Astros baseball. And so you hope that it continues. But the rocky start that this team got off to, the rocky start that he was dealing with because it was his first year at the helm and because there were things that people were pointing to and trying to point at and trying to blame him for, he needs to get credit for the fact that as well as this team came together and righted the ship, if he's the captain and his own players are giving him and his coaching staff are giving him the credit, that says something in itself because a lot of guys are going to probably jump on board or start side-eyeing a lot of people and a lot of things when things go wrong. The fact that when things were at their worst and at rock bottom, he found a way to get them back to their best, he deserves all the credit in the world for that.
Yeah, I think he's been really, really good. Jury's still out on like what we think of him because, again, what you do in the postseason is magnified more than what you do in the regular season. But kind of crazy that people were calling for his head, and then you have all these players. Yeah, he was great. He was we love him. He was really, really good. Even killed. Never wavered. It really spits in the face of that one report when the Astros were struggling that his communication was poor.
Unnamed player? And,
yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember if it was unnamed player, unnamed source. I forget. But yeah, like there was that article.
Yep.
It might have been Bob Nightingale. And they're like, yeah, Espada has poor communication. And it's like, I don't think, though. I don't think that was correct.
Yeah, no, that was definitely one that I remember at the time. We were like, whoa, who could that be? And trying to think of, like, what player would be unhappy enough to start pointing the finger at Joe. Because Dana's right. I mean, the fact that you take a rookie manager that came straight out of the blue outside of the organization, I don't think you get anywhere close to the same kind of results in terms of the respect of the clubhouse and the stick together of the entire team when things go bad. Joe having paid his dues and you know developed relationships with this team, there's no doubt that helped. But the fact that you know he was still learning things as the guy in charge instead of second in command. And so it was a learning experience for him, and then he had to learn on the fly how to handle adversity at a very high level, and he was able to handle all of that, and he should get credit for that.
Yeah, he did. He got thrown into the wolves with adversity, no doubt about that. You have this dynasty, and all of a sudden you're 12 games under 500 and 10 games back right out of the gate. Yeah, he was thrown into the wolves for sure. 0979, Joe Cool, absolutely. Dana Brown, Executive of the Year. I think Dana Brown had a really good year as a general manager and didn't love his offseason. You know, I like the Hader signing, although it was very expensive, and I'm not a huge believer in spending tons of money on relief pitching. I feel like because he didn't have a great offseason, he was kind of playing catch-up during the season. But if you look at his moves during the season, yeah, tip my cap. I hated the Yusei Kikuchi trade, and I was eating crow immediately on that because Yusei Kikuchi has been phenomenal. You look at some of the shrewd, under-the-radar pickups during the season as well. Ben Gamble comes and immediately is one of your best nine offensive players. He gets hurt, and then what do you have waiting in the reserves? Jason Hayward. So, like, Dana Brown does deserve a lot of credit. Executive of the Year, probably not. Didn't have a great offseason, in my opinion, but in-season moves, yes, phenomenal.
Yeah, I'm with you. I didn't like what they gave up for the Kikuchi trade, and I wasn't sure Kikuchi was the right guy. He stuck by his gun, said that was the guy that they had targeted, as much as we questioned whether we believed that or not. Kikuchi was unbelievable. You start at the start of the season when you start talking about where he had penciled in his mind a chance for Blanco to be a starter. You know, looking at Arrigetti as a guy that he really liked, that he thought had a role on this team. And look at the role those two guys played over the course of 162. And then the guys you mentioned, a Gamble off the scrap heap and a Hayward were huge. Even finding a Taylor Scott and getting the first half of the season you got from Taylor Scott when he was highly leverage and more. I mean, those are kind of somewhat under the radar or forgotten about because of the fact that the team now won the division. Without those guys, you're not even close.
713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. What do you think of the job that Joe has done in the regular season? Another thing that I've noticed, too, we're starting to see some disrespect. We're seeing some Fromber Valdez disrespect. And what I think is happening here is that Fromber's just kind of lulling people to sleep with how consistent that he's been these last few years. And the disrespect we're getting from Fromber, it's real. And it's not spectacular. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Something that is spectacular is Oktoberfest, and Oktoberfest will be here before you know it. Make plans right now for Saturday, October 5th and Sunday, October 6th for Oktoberfest on the Kima Boardwalk. You get German beer, German food, give me all of it, live music, cornhole tournament, Steinholding competitions, costume contest, and much more. Much more. It's going to be a great time. Free for you to attend. Walk around. So head out there October 5th and October 6th. You can get your beer tickets, beer steins, food tickets, all online right now at KemaBoardwalk.com, or you can purchase them at the event. No big deal. Some of the beer that you will have, Blue Moon, Belgian White, New Belgium Atomic Pumpkin, Yingling Oktoberfest, and much, much more. How about this food? Schnitzel on a stick. I love schnitzel. German beer bratwurst. We all love that. Sausage on a stick, soft pretzel with beer cheese. The food is unbelievable. Souvenir steins are available for purchase right now at KemaBoardwalk.com while supplies last. Saturday, October 5th, we'll get the live music starting at 1 o'clock all the way until 10. Steinholding competition, cornhole tournament that night. And then Sunday, we'll do it all over again. Live music noon till 9, Steinholding at 5, cornhole at 5:30. You can see the full schedule of events and concert lineup at KemaBoardwalk.com. That's KemaBoardwalk.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Brace yourself, 12th man.
Every time you step on the field, you gotta win your bet.
This is a new era of Texas A&M football.
Our excitement is at an all-time high, and people are excited about the direction of this program.
Join us Saturday. The Aggies travel to AT&T Stadium to take on the Arkansas Razorbacks. Our coverage begins at 1:30 on the Texas A&M Sports Network.
Texas A&M versus Arkansas, Saturday at 1:30 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Listening to the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
8022, German food is easily some of the least flavorful food out there. German food sucks, Branham. Your Caucasian side is showing in that region.
And I'm Mexican.
Schnitzel's fantastic. And the last name Branham is German, actually. So you're actually onto something there. You get good schnitzel, how could you be disappointed?
Yeah, schnitzel's
that?
Great.
Schnitzel's not.
The pretzels with the beer cheese,
so
great.
So good.
Fantastic.
Brats?
Brats, fantastic.
Tell me twice.
I know, we're speaking Joel's language now.
Yeah. Schnitzel is my favorite, though.
Schnitzel's my favorite.
Bratwurst are the best. I love bratwurst. You're right, the pretzels are all world, whether you got cheese dip or not. Just the pretzel made the right way. Those are fantastic.
In fact, get Chris Jericho ready, Brian, if you can, if it's available. 8022, you just made the list.
You just made the list.
You just made the list. That's a terrible take. And it is Thursday, though, so appreciate you doing that. Space City Kev, pour some out, by the way. The Mariners have been eliminated. The Mariners eliminated on their day off. Space City Kev says, how are you going to get eliminated on your day off? How are you going to get fired on your day off? Yeah, Tigers won. Royals won. Their magic number's 2. Really want that Sunday game to be competitive, though. Really,
yeah.
need the Twins to win, and then hopefully they lose. I guess once in that span, because that would be nice if they have to play Sunday for real. Play real baseball Sunday. 5993. Do the Astros team have a better record right now if Dusty Baker was still around, if he hadn't had a heart attack during the season? I must have missed that news.
Yeah, I don't think that we ever heard anything close to that.
Dusty didn't even miss games, right? That's a gamer right there. If he had a heart attack and didn't miss a game, that's pretty stout. That's pretty tough. That's not a soft boy. No wonder he didn't like Yordan Alvarez. He's a dog. He had a heart attack, kept managing, never missed a game.
Maybe it was all that banana pudding he kept bringing into the clubhouse.
Yeah, oxtails, too. Yeah. He would bring that in.
Seriously, though, do you think that they would be any better off or with Dusty?
I think they'd be about the same.
I think
we kind of overrate the importance of – well, I think managerial importance, I think sometimes we misconstrue. I think, like, first pitch to last out, I think it's pretty simple, quite honestly. Like, people are, oh, you've never played the game. You couldn't – well, I did play the game. I hit 400 in high school and won a beer league softball championship.
But
I saw a lot of baseball. But it's really what you do, I think, after the last out and before the first pitch. I think it's talking to the guys, keeping the camaraderie high, the chemistry high, keeping the vibes good. I think Dusty Baker excelled in that. Mm-hmm. I think game management wasn't his strong suit, but I think we overrate that, underrate the other stuff where he was phenomenal.
Yeah, the main thing, too, is just the ability to communicate with your players on tough news as well as good times. And I think that, you know, the fact that those guys felt comfortable knowing that whether they walked into his office or he had a conversation with them elsewhere, they respected him. They knew that he's a baseball lifer, and they knew that he knew his stuff to where that he could get the message across. That was huge. And that's where maybe, you know, that could have helped a little with continuity early on that Joe was still developing. But because Joe had been there before, he knew these guys. It was just now he's in command.
So what do you think? You think they would have a better or worse record?
I think it'd be close to being the same. I think that Dusty may have had a few more wins here or there early on because Joe was still getting his feet wet, but I don't think it would have been a significant difference.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think it would have been the same. 4-4-9-2, only team in history, 7-19 to make the playoffs. I thought the Braves, like, in the 20s did that, but whatever. Modern history.
You're
June
right.
14th, cut Abreu. I was thinking about that the other day. Like, it does not seem like Jose Abreu was on this baseball team this season. He was on the baseball team this season. Doesn't it feel like he wasn't?
Oh, it does. Well, it does. But what I was thinking about was, how does he feel right now? Because, you know, so much.
Rich.
Besides being rich, like, that's his squad. He was supposed to be there with them. And if he could have hit the baseball at all, they probably would have still been force feeding him to us for at least a longer period of time. And now, without him, look what they were able to do. That can't feel great no matter how much money you got in the bank.
I disagree. If you pay me $19.5 million to leave this station, I would never pay attention to you guys again.
You can disagree.
Like, I would never care. Like, I would forget all of you in a heartbeat.
That's fine. I'm just saying, with a ball player with pride, you know that at the end of the day, yeah, he knows how much money he got out of this deal. But you know damn well he did all the things he did because he wanted to contribute. And that, he's got to feel a certain kind of way about the fact that without him, they turned it around and more.
It's probably case-by-case basis. Like, I don't know him personally enough to know how he would feel. I wouldn't care. $19.5 million, I'm going to go enjoy my life.
He accepted a demotion trying to contribute and make it to where he could be someone that they, you know, paid good money for.
Yeah, he was being a professional.
Okay.
He was being a pro. He was trying to make his way back. Keith from L.A., I played a lot of MLB The Show. Get a life, man. I can be your batting coach, Branham. 0979, Joe just getting started. He can't compare to Dusty. Joe great for a rookie. I don't think Dusty Baker wins way more games than Joe Espada, though. Like, I really don't. Like, if he does, it's one or two games.
I would say, I guess if you're going to pick the spot where Dusty could have been better, is maybe avoiding the disastrous start. Like, I don't know if they start 10-20, remain 10 games under 500 for as long as they did. But over the long run for the full season, I think it's fairly close, and they're probably still in the wild card. Maybe they win 3-4 more games with Dusty, but that still doesn't catch Cleveland or New York.
Well, let me ask you this. After what we went through year one with Yiner, would he be okay playing Yiner at first base?
I think so. Yiner played first base last year.
A little bit. But, you know, would he be okay, like, truly making him more, you know, platooning more and playing a lot of first base?
I think so. Yeah. I don't think he would have had any issue with it. We forget that the last time that the Astros had a sub-500 record was with Dusty Baker. Just saying.
That was the COVID year?
Just saying. They were under 500. That was the last time the Astros were under 500.
Yeah, 29-31.
Was with mm-hmm. Dusty Baker. I see a lot of Framber Valdez disrespect. Keith Law, he gave his top five AL Cy Young, and he did not have Framber Valdez listed. And it's very disrespectful. And I think what's happening here is Framber Valdez's consistency is kind of boring these media types. Like, oh, ho-hum, another Framber Valdez year where he's top five in ERA, where he logs 175 innings, where he's right there in victories at the top of the American League. He's in every single leaderboard just about. Oh, well, you know, it's kind of like with Jordan a little bit, not on that scale, but oh, we're bored, you know, listing and voting for Michael Jordan as the MVP, so we're going to vote all these other random jabronis. It's the same thing with Framber Valdez. Like, oh, okay, I'm bored having Framber in my top five. Let me vote some of these youngsters. But if Framber Valdez doesn't finish top five AL Cy Young voting, it's very disrespectful, like Keith Law has. He doesn't have a vote, but he had it in The Athletic. Framber Valdez, third in ERA, top fifth in wins, sixth in WAR, ninth in WHIP, and he's top five in a bunch of nerd stats. third in FIP, fifth in adjusted ERA, fourth in adjusted pitching runs, fourth in adjusted pitching wins, fourth in situational win saved, and fifth in REW. Don't ask me what that is. I have no idea. But Framber Valdez is on almost every single important leaderboard in the top five. If he doesn't get voted top five AL Cy Young, it's criminal.
You're right, because that's stats across all of baseball, right?
AL.
That's just for the AL?
And you only vote for AL pitchers when you're voting for the AL Cy Young.
Right. I was just curious because I also saw some other graphics about where his ER ranked in terms of all of baseball. And it's truly fantastic. And when you think about the hiccups that he had, you know, kind of in that May-June era, I mean, little portion of the season, the way he turned it back around, dialed it back in, and has just been so steady, it's completely unfair that you don't have him top five in the American League. It's obvious Scooble's going to win it. And he is, you know, the guy that stands out to everybody. And because he's on a team like the Tigers, they got a lot of extra attention. And he's going to be the winner. But if you can't have him somewhere in the mix, no matter who else you're looking at and who you think had a really good year pitching-wise, then I don't think you've watched enough baseball. I know Keith Locke, you know, pats himself on the back and is always, you know, a baseball analyst, and he can break down talent. We've gotten into it with him on Hunter Brown, amongst things. There's no way you can't look at the season that Framber put together yet again and think he's not top five.
5798, I hope Framber takes it personally and crushes the postseason. Yeah, that'd be great. 6091, when will the playoffs be set? I imagine they'll set the schedule sometime Sunday.
I think as soon as everything's solidified, yeah. I mean, if there's anything still waiting in the wings on Sunday, but I would think that once, if they get it pretty done, if it's all done and said for who's playing who by Saturday, I would think they would come out either Saturday night or Sunday morning.
They play all four of these wild card games on the same day. Two in the NL, two in the AL. So you're going to have a bunch of staggered starts. I'm very curious what the Astros time slot is for these three games. But
who's the sexiest matchup from like a national perspective?
I don't know the matchups, do you?
No, I mean, just by what it is today, we know Astros would be Tigers. It would be Royals and Orioles.
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah, and then the Padres.
I don't really keep up with the National League. The Brewers right now are the divisional champ that has to play in the wild card series in the NL. Dodgers and the Phillies are getting byes right now. Padres could still catch the Dodgers. They're three back, but that West seems pretty lofty.
Yeah.
So you're looking at Milwaukee. If the season ended today, you're looking at Milwaukee, Arizona, San Diego, New York. But it'd be at San Diego, so they'd probably make that the late game.
Yeah, that's definitely going to get some national TV, though. I mean, the primetime slot. They're going to get a nighttime slot.
I don't know, man. Like, if you put that at 8 Eastern, they're playing at 5 o'clock in San Diego. I think they'll make that the late game.
That's New York, though. They want the New York market in primetime.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. I'm curious what they do. Now, the Braves are only a game back. They still have a chance. And the Braves and the Mets have to do that weird doubleheader on Monday if it matters.
It's crazy.
That stinks for them.
It really sucks because I want to say that it's the Braves that play, I think, in Milwaukee. And then they got to fly back. And then if they fly back from Monday's game at home and they play the two games, and if they end up being, then they got to fly to wherever they play the next day.
Yeah, it's. I thought the Braves played somebody in the American League. I wanted to say it had implications.
I thought the Brewers had implications between one of maybe the Mets have to play in Milwaukee, but one of the two.
Yeah,
teams,
Braves are playing the Royals. They're home for the Royals.
Okay, so then it's the Mets. They would have to go. I think they have to go to Milwaukee, fly back to Atlanta for the doubleheader, and if they win to get enough into the playoffs, they have to fly wherever they're playing for the Tuesday.
Oh well, that's their problem, not mine. 713-780-3776. Let's get to Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports. He's been crushing it. You're gonna want to play all the games that Lee's playing this weekend, and we'll get those games next. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. We're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Brandon.
Lee Sterling's killing it, guys. Lee Sterling last week, 4-1, year-to-date, crushing it. He's making you rich if you listen to Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. And, Lee, I'd ask you how you're doing, but I know how you're doing, and I just want to jump into the games. The big one in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, first time as a home dog since George W. Bush was in office. Georgia's given 2 to the Tide. How's this one going to go?
This is why we watch the game. There's so much talent on this field here. And Carson Beck for Georgia, the quarterback, probably a top five pick. Alabama quarterback Jalen Milroe, one of the best dual-threat quarterbacks we've seen in a long time. Georgia plays like five or six running backs. Bama, they share the carries with Jam Miller and Justice Haynes. So I think pretty even there. This game might come down to one play by, let's say, a wide receiver. And if that's the case, my money would be on Alabama true freshman Ryan Williams, who reclassified. He really should be in high school. This kid's something special. 10 catches on the year so far, 4 for touchdowns. And I think Georgia thought that they were going to have the go-to guy emerge, and it would be Dominic Lovett. He does have 9 catches, and they thought he would take over for Ladd McConkey, but has yet to see the end zone. So also on top of that, 17 of the 27 times two top five teams have matched up, the home team has prevailed here. I'm going to say the wrong team's favored. I like Alabama, 27-24.
Wow, that's a big one. Start out hot with a big one. Way to go, Lee. And now we're looking at the team that, look, we know Willie Fritz is a hell of a football coach, and good things are ahead for the Cougs. Bit of a struggle so far this year. Iowa State, the Cyclones, they're giving 13 points. How do you see that one going?
Yeah, Iowa State's defense has allowed only 3.96, not yards per rush, yards per snap. That equates to 260 yards per game. The current national average for total offense is 402 yards per game. Houston's offense averaging only 294 and 4.8 per play here. Houston's offense is going to face that 12th-rated pass defense if they fall behind, and if that's the case, it's probably not going to work out. So I just think Donovan Smith just too up and down here. This Iowa State team, very under the radar. They were the better team. They should have won by a lot more than they did at Iowa, and Iowa's now coming on. Cyclones 30-13.
Well, because I'm a professional, Lee, I'll just move right along and right past that. Yeah. Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports, joining us on the HR&P guest line. Let's switch it to the NFL, a game that, outside of Houston, that I'm the most excited about. Baltimore, Buffalo. Buffalo undefeated. Baltimore 1-2, but Baltimore, Lee, favored in this game by 2.
Yeah, and Josh Allen's been incredible. I mean, if they had an MVP voting right now after 3 games, I think he would run away with it. I think people are shocked that, you know, without Stephon Diggs, how good they look. First 3-0 start in 4 years for this team, but I think it could come to an end. This is a non-division game here. They're traveling off a Monday night here, and I think their problem is going to be linebacker. They'll be without Matt Milano for the season, Terrell Bernard. These are their best 2 linebackers, and I think they can be exploited in the run game, their backups, and also in pass coverage. So Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry, they look like they're in midseason form if you watch the first 3 quarters of the game against Dallas. Yeah, the final was 28-25, but they were playing a lot of deep zones, just playing prevent just to make sure they won the game. I like Baltimore here. Should be a fun game to watch, though, 31-27.
Lee, we got the surprise in the Pittsburgh Steelers. Not a whole lot of people put a whole lot of stock in Justin Fields, and most people didn't think he was going to start, but the Steelers have been a massive surprise in the league. They're taking out a bit of a disappointment in the Indianapolis Colts. Only 1 point going in this game. How do you see it going down?
Yeah, the Steelers just don't do anything fancy, but it's clear they're establishing an identity here. Justin Fields hasn't fully let loose yet, either with his arm or his legs, but he's not making mistakes. He's completing over 73% of his passes, only 1 interception, no fumbles on the year. They're sustaining long drives. No defense has faced more plays or spent more time on the field than the Colts here. And their points allowed in yards per play are slightly better, but still sit at the bottom third of the league. It's not all the defense here, however, as Anthony Richardson has twice as many interceptions as touchdowns. He's fumbled the ball twice, lucky to get both of them back. Add in 49.3 completion percentage. It's going to be really hard to score on this Pittsburgh D. The Steelers will also remember the game last year. They jumped out to that 13-0 lead, and the Colts scored the final 30 points here. Pittsburgh with a little payback, 27-17.
Lee Sterling's been rolling, 4-1 last week. You can find his stuff, ParamountSports.com, joining us now on the HR&P guest line. Houston Texans home for Jacksonville, trying to respond after losing badly to Minnesota on the road this past weekend. It looks again like Cam Akers is going to be the featured back. It looks like there will be no Tank Dell. Don't get me started on that. They're 7-point favorite at home against division rival Jacksonville, who's been putrid so far this year. As this one's shaken out?
Yeah, and whoever thought we'd see Trevor Lawrence lose 9 games in a row dating back to last year? Last game that they won. I mean, this is it's crazy. It goes back to last November, and Beathard, that's right. Beathard, he was the quarterback in that game. So, things are not all right, obviously, with Houston, but this Jacksonville team has got some big problems here. 2-9 in Trevor Lawrence's last 11 starts. They're also without one of their best linebackers, so injuries are starting to mount up on both teams here. But I think Houston's eventually going to get it right. Sometimes just in a slump here, and this is the perfect team to get out of the slump here. I think some things are also going on behind the scenes between the coaching staff and Lawrence. You can just read his body language. There's definitely some unhappiness there. I like Houston. I think they hit on some big plays, jump out to a lead, and then keep pouring it on. Give me the Texans here, 29-17.
Well, Lee, you've been killing it. Jeremy mentioned it. You've just been hammering everybody and getting wins. You got wins on the season. You had a hot week last week at 4-1. Tell everybody how they can capitalize and cash in on your winning, and give them a free play along the way as well.
Yeah, we're gonna give them a free play tonight. Don't normally give a Thursday night game for free, but Dallas and the Giants, huge game for both teams. How about this? The first 5 callers that call 800-400-9741, give them Dallas and the Giants on me. Call that number right now to get it for free. 800-400-9741. Last week we had the Baker's Dozen, had a winner on that. And we're going to have it. We don't call it October coming up. We call it Locktober. You can get 5 weeks of games starting tonight, going all the way through Thursday, October 31st, normally $5.47. If you use coupon code SAVE200, just $347. And you're going to get generally 9 to 13 games a week. And our first 40 to 50 unit play of the year goes this Saturday, and we're 66-24 on these 40 to 50 unit major wager releases. So you want to hop on board, now's the time. Just one place, ParamountSports.com.
Thank you, Lee. Stay hot.
I will. See you guys.
Lee Sterling.
I will.
ParamountSports.com. Look at that confidence, man. I will. I'm going to do it. I'm going to stay hot. Locktober's around the corner. Lee Sterling handing out winners. You got to love it. Lee Sterling, ParamountSports.com. I sure don't love D'Amico Ryan's answer when asked if he regrets having the starters in the game when they were down by 27 with minutes left to play. Also, the injury report is out today. Tank Dell did not practice. You know who else is not practicing today for the Houston Texans?
Who would that be?
Nico Collins was limited. Foley, Mrs. Foley's baby boy, Fadakasi, limited. Kenyon Green on the injury report, but it was full participant. Joe Mixon did not practice. Damian Pierce did not practice. Jimmy Ward did not practice. But, of course, the ones that I have in my crosshairs, Tank Dell. What was D'Amico's response when asked about leaving the starters in late in the game? It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.